AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Pod podcast, whatever that means.
AJ, Bridge and the podcast. This is seriously, this is bigger than the castle, a possible legal wrangle in the building where I live because I have rented out my car space downstairs. We're going to bring in Jim Keogh to do the inquiry on this.
Well, that was a little bit of the show, and we took calls on when have you had a note left on your car? And also, as every Thursday, the Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull joined us.
Yeah, we had lots of celebrities. Australian comedian, she's incredible with her new tour, Lift and Separate. Julia Morris, we love her. It was a great chat. Enjoy.
Here we go. It's AJ, Bridge and Spider's Name That Year.
Little competition we put on the radio Monday to Friday at Gold 92.5 at this time called Name That Year. Usually it's a piece of sport, a movie, and some music as well. So we'll lob into it. And Bridge, your name is your buzzer. So is your name your
Spider.
Buzzer, Peter. And our adjudicator for the show is none other than Rodney McLeod. Mm. So we're going straight to sport here. Name That Year.
Menzies is over the line. Stephen Menzies has scored in the grand final. His departing grand final.
Rod's going to be the good adjudicator on this one. He's a Manly supporter. Steve Menzies final NRL game.
He played, I think it was 6,850 games. He was a machine, wasn't he? I can't remember. I don't know what year it was, but I've interviewed him a few times, done a couple of sports lunches with him. He's a great fellow. He's never said a bad word about anyone, has he, Rod?
No, he's a champion bloke.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think it was that long ago, though.
No, I'm going to say 2012.
Normally they're on the cut here, but no. No.
Okay.
I don't think it's that long ago. So I'm going to say Bridge 2014.
No.
Manly Warringah 40, Melbourne Storm 0, 2008.
Yes.
Oh, was it that long ago with Menzies? Wow.
How did you celebrate, Rod?
Yeah. I celebrated with some lovely beverages, cold, frosty beverages, and I celebrated it long and hearty into the evening.
Was it the White Knights?
No, it wasn't the White Knights, but it was the White Porcelain the day after, I can tell you.
What's White Knights?
The Jim Beam cans, the White Brides.
Go Manly.
Righto. Let's go.
Okay, let's go. Spider won that round.
Yes.
And name that year.
That's it. Now on the spot. One, two, one, two, one, two. What are your legs?
Springs. Steel springs.
What are they going to do?
Hurl me down the track.
How fast can you run?
As fast as a leopard.
How fast are you going to run?
As fast as a leopard.
Then let's see you do it.
Gallipoli, the movie.
Oh, Gallipoli. Mm. Oh, look, that is a long, long time ago, Gallipoli. A lot of amazing Aussie actors, including, I think it was that one, Rod, there was an up-and-coming actor. I can't remember his name, and he was going to be like the next Mel Gibson, and he had a car accident and was in a coma and died soon after that movie. Do you remember that?
Yes, yes.
Can't remember his name, though. Anyway, I'm going to say Bridge, 1982.
No.
Okay.
I'm going to go later. I'm going to go, to be honest, I don't think I've seen it. Mm. I'm going to go 1992.
No.
Saying in the 90s. Mm.
I saw this movie as a kid and bawled my eyes out. First time ever in a cinema. 1981?
Yeah.
Oh.
Bridge, well, closest to the pin. Oh, so we're close. Going in even Stephen.
All right, here we go.
No one's named Stephen.
Remember what even Stephen did?
No.
Even Stephen won a Melbourne Cup.
There you go. What year?
17. No. Long time ago. Name that year.
I saw Stevie last year in the Hunter Valley. She was amazing.
Mm.
Who is it, Peter?
Well, it's Stevie Nicks.
Who's the band?
I have no idea. I only know it's Stevie Nicks because I only know one Stevie female singer.
Then I gave it away.
Yeah.
So what band?
No idea. Yeah, I know you're going to kick me, but...
No, I don't do physical violence. I'll just verbally give you a bit of a kick.
Who'd she sing for?
I'm not telling you. You want to jump in, you go for it, bro.
Okay, I'm going to have a guess. And a long shot, but I think it was around about that song. Remember when it first came out? Was that the single? Was it the album? I reckon it was the single in 88.
No.
Look, I'm going to say Fleetwood Mac, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Bridge 85. Bridge 85.
Only one of the biggest selling bands of all time.
I apologise to everybody out there.
85, no. Bridge?
Okay.
No.
Right.
Rodney?
I think this is a little earlier. And I still can't get over the fact that Neil Finn from Crowded House is in Fleetwood
it's
Mac.
Just
what's
weird.
Going on?
It's weird all of a sudden, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's good. But...
Kiwis are everywhere.
Mm. Yeah. 82?
Yes.
Hey!
You are a freak. Seriously, you're a freak.
All right. Mm.
Every day you surprise me.
All righty.
Every day, Rodney.
Well done.
And well done, Bridge.
That's what my partner says to me.
Oh, wow.
Bridge wins the game. Congrats, Bridge.
Thanks.
Day one of the Sanctuary Cove International Boat Show, the 30th year. By the way, too, you are listening out for this theme from the 80s when you played. We hear this. The Love Boat theme. Give us a bell. 13:27:10 for a chance at this $15,000 prize that we've been lucky enough and offered here at Gold. You with AJ Bridge and Spider. The Horizons Motor Yacht Prize at Sanctuary Cove. Luxury Sunset Cruise. You don't need to take it straight away. You've got 6 months to book it if you win it. Dinner on board. 4-hour Sunset Cruise. It's an amazing vessel. And you can go to our Facebook page for a tour of the boat. There's a virtual tour online. So
yes.
We'll give you a chance at winning that when you hear the Love Boat later today. It's 8 to 8.
You know,
8 to 6.
It's not
eight
cool. It's really not cool to see that Tetarav is struggling. And I saw in the news last night that three more of the boutique shops are closing down because they're trying to take on your big retailers that are in Pacfair. I mean, you've got your big players, your overseas competition, H&M and Uniqlo and Zara. And look, there is a great one that's opened up there called White Label Noba, and it is brilliant. So, yeah. You know, that can be a saviour for Tetarav, but... with all of these boutiques shutting down, I mean, I remember the glory days of Tedda when we used to be on the boat at Southport Yacht Club and Dad would walk us over to the bakery. You know, we'd always be at the bakery at Tedder Ave. And then you had the halcyon days years ago with all the well, it wasn't nightclubs, but all the beautiful
bars
restaurants and everything going off, right?
Mm.
Can it make a comeback?
It's difficult, you know.
Because you're saying that the rents are very, very high. We know that, you know, Australia Fair is getting a massive rebuild as well, Southport. And there's a lot of little shops and cafes. And you're having a crack at this yesterday, AJ, saying is there an oversupply of cafes and restaurants on the Gold Coast? Mm. But why can Tetter Avenue come back?
I think really you've got to have a look at the age. You've got to have a look at the demographic of people living there now. It's changed. I've been there 12, nearly 13 years. Mm. The demographic has definitely changed.
Mm.
People have matured. They got older. They don't go out. They don't go to the bottle shops. They don't go to the restaurants like it used to before. I think you take a look at Tetter and put stores, shops that sit with the demographic. I mean, why would you go think about other parts of the coast? Would you go and put older places in a Palm Beach or a Miami where there's younger people? Look at the demographic and put businesses in accordingly.
Is that right, though?
Is that a fair comment?
Is that right? Is Main Beach demo like that? I know it's got the perception that it is like that, but has it really? Is there a lot more families around there than... that you really know, or isn't there? That you don't see because
it doesn't seem to be, does it?
Every weekend you go down, if you were to drive through there, there's still a lot of people around.
There is, but it's an apartment lodgement, Peter. I mean, there's people live in apartments. There's very few houses there. People retire to that area of the Gold Coast.
It's a beautiful street. It's always been a gorgeous strip with all the trees and everything. It's awesome, and you know, I've had many. Big long lunch there in the days and whatever. And, you know, when Indy was big, you'd always go and hang at Main Beach. But I'll tell you one thing. For some of those boutique owners, you know what? Maybe just pay attention to the one person that does walk into your shop. Because I've had an incident. I've had quite a few incidences in there where I've walked in and tried to find something or a dress or for a function and not even spoken to. Not even said hello to, looked up and down, And I just thought, oh, maybe the lady, she's busy or something. I don't know, doing whatever. No, as soon as an older lady came in, all over her because she was dressed up. I had the pretty woman moment. And I thought, you know what? You can't be like that.
Nope.
You have to, absolutely. If you're struggling, well, you didn't know I had money and I had money to spend in that store.
Well, I've got an idea. You know what they could do, Ted?
Oh,
Av?
Here we go.
No, no, no. I'm thinking out loud, and I'm thinking that, you know, because they've got Broadbeach Alliance, Surfers Paradise Alliance, we've seen how big the Blues Fest is here in Broadbeach, how big the Country Music Fest is going to be here.
Yes.
You've got Surfers Alliance that had Jimmy Barnes and Daryl Braithwaite.
Yes.
Why can't Tedder shut Tedder off and do something at Tedder? You know, get what kind of.
I know.
Who could they get?
I get it. I've got perfect. Take on Blues Fest, the Blue Rinse Fest.
Yeah, Blues Rinse Fest.
Blue Rinse Fest.
Yeah, get a couple of your. Normie Rowe in there.
Charles Aznavour, he was 96 during the week.
There we are, get him down.
Zager and Evans.
Yep. Zager and Evans.
Put there on a big truck at the end of Tedder.
Yes.
A couple of hay bales and get these guys on.
How's that? Perfect.
Spider Alliance. Very good. What's going on, Bridge?
Well, the love theme and. You know, the love boat, I've firmly jumped on board the love boat.
It's a good boat. It's 94 foot of luxury.
No, this boat, I'm just really loved up. Oh, I love it. Oh, come on.
What are you on about?
No, I just really loved up. I don't know how many times I can explain that because you don't understand that concept. It's called loved up. It's
loved
being
up.
In love.
Yeah. Oh, it's only weeks in.
I know.
So don't get...
Why not? Everyone's different, aren't they, AJ? Everyone is different.
It's young.
Oh, come on.
It's...
Anyway, so?
Okay, enjoy it. Why not? But...
Yeah, this is the same bloke who wrote this off, AJ. He put in his diary, I give it 3 weeks, which he always does with my relationships.
No, some of them I've given longer and they haven't got there. So,
which is perfect. You've done the opposite of this one.
I've tried reverse psychology.
Yeah, you have. Well, I met Jamie at Blues Fest at Byron Bay. You know, and it's just been amazing. Honestly, it's been awesome. And
have you ever heard of the start of a new relationship being crap?
No, but this is different. This is different.
This is. What do you mean it's
different?
No,
it is different. It's different.
Why
to the
is it
others.
Different?
Because it is. I just
He's got
know
a car.
It.
He's got a license.
It helps.
Sorry.
His own teeth.
Oh.
Come on, can you be
a little bit nice
about it, for goodness sake?
I am. I'm on your side.
Oh, you're right. Giving it 3 weeks. Anyway, it's been nearly 2 months. I know it's early. I do know that. But I've never felt like this before.
Has he got clothes at your house?
Thank you, AJ. Yes. And his electric toothbrush and everything.
He's moved in.
Well, no, but he's staying over a bit. So this morning, though, he's still at that stage where Jamie thinks all my alarms are quite cute when they go off, about 5 of them in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then this morning... AJ gets up with, I'm going to make you a coffee.
Oh,
3:30 in the morning. He still thinks it's novel.
Yeah.
He's up early, make me a coffee.
This is young love.
And he's like, oh, I'll feed the dogs for you. I love your dogs. Go for it. He's like, can I get the gate for you?
What, this morning?
Yeah.
At like 3:30?
Yep. I'm like, yes, sure, if you want to, but don't get up. And then... on my way to work, I get a text saying I love you. And it's like, this is unreal.
Have you both dropped the L word?
Yeah. Yeah, we have. Which is not like me either. I'm telling you it's not like me to do this. So it is. I think it's the first time I've really been in love.
It's on.
It is on. It's on. Bets are on. But honestly, how long is this going to last? Because this is false advertising from him.
Oh, 100%. There's no way
knowing he can. You can have 4 alarms go off in the morning.
No.
And be, oh, isn't that cute?
You can't sustain the coffee thing. You cannot sustain that. I get shut up, you big elephant. I get that after so many years. I don't get a coffee. For Sherita open the front gate, oh, my God. I'd have to pay her.
Not only did I get a coffee, I got a coffee in a takeaway proper mug and asked, what hand will you drink it in when you drive to work in the morning so I can face the sipper the right way?
I want to know, would there be anybody out there that actually makes a cup of tea for their... Graham Annesley
every morning for his wife makes a cup of tea for her in bed. Did you used to do that for Annie? Look at the face.
No, because AJ
Probably
slept
not.
On the couch.
The red wine from the night before. She thought you were having red wine for breakfast. Oh, that's love. I think I have someone defending me here. I'm
What's
in the early
for?
Stages of puppy love and my partner Jamie got up and made me a coffee this
Please.
Morning. Thinks all my 12 alarms that go off is cute and open the gate. But I think this can last. I think... Well, I think, well, we're definitely going to last.
No way, no. And the coffee and getting up, opening the gate's going to last. Sorry.
David and Carrara, you give me so much hope about love. What do you do for your beautiful partner and how long have you been with her for?
Well, we've been married for over 12 years and I play golf every Saturday morning and quite often I'll get up earlier. I'll shoot down to McDonald's and get her hot cakes. I won't get them myself because I'm trying to lose weight.
Yes.
Go home, make her a cup of coffee and give it to her in bed before I go to golf.
Oh, oh yeah, beautiful.
That's only to get you to golf.
He hasn't touched the ground.
Yeah. 25 past six after all that.
Yeah, all the speculation, all the news over the last 24-48 hours have been about Craig Bellamy and Wayne Bennett. Mm. Is he going to go? Isn't he going to go?
Come on, don't muck around, big boy. What's going to happen?
No, it's true. There's so many different reports.
You Come on, big boy.
You know what's going to happen?
What?
I reckon Bellamy will go. I reckon Bennett will be, they'll get rid of him and Bellamy will go up there. Bellamy's putting pressure on. But how's this? You know how you love to organise a sportsman's lunch and you have some of the greats there? Sometimes you see Scotty Sattler and John Sattler on the same stage.
Yes.
June 1, which is only next Friday.
Oh, no.
At Toowoomba, there is a lunch being held at the race club at Clifford Park.
Yeah.
And the two people on the panel, Craig Bellamy and Wayne Bennett.
One will pull out for sure.
It will be organised. It will be sorted by next Friday at Clifford Park. There, they had tickets remaining yesterday, sold out today. So,
wow.
How
right.
funny.
What's the bet then? The bet is whoever is going is the one that won't turn up.
Ooh.
It's going to be interesting. They've both got to, you've both got to turn up. You've got to be better than the code itself, and you've got to turn up. But who would be more reluctant to turn up? I reckon Wayne would be. Wayne would be a lot more spiky than what Craig.
All right, I've just formed a market.
Good.
Bridgie, in my head already. Good. It's $1.80.
$1.80,
not the front.
Yeah, Bennett. I reckon. There I reckon Bennett won't front. And the way Bellamy was very quite cocky yesterday in the news, and he was saying, I know I haven't still signed with the Storm because, you know, well, I might need to be here.
So there you go. And I know somebody's brought a table. Darius Boyd. Just in
case. Of course
case,
he has.
In case Wayne walks off, he can walk off with him.
Jan Stuckey, member for Currumbin.
Yes.
And she said, well, it looks like Borriby doesn't have a home. See, one minute you're hot, then you're not.
Yeah.
And
well, you know what? He would have got kicked out of home anyway.
Well,
he's over 30.
Exactly. That's true. And he's looking for somewhere. And Jan has said, you know what? Currumbin Wildlife Sanctuary. And I'm an ambassador for the Currumbin Wildlife Sanctuary. And I think it's an awesome idea to bring awareness and conservation to the koalas because they have many sick koalas there, as well, healthy ones as well, of course, you can hold, but ones in the hospital there at the Currumbin Wildlife Sanctuary.
Yeah, look, I know Borriby put himself on the open market. There'll be a lot of people out there bidding for Borriby to come and live with him. I'd love Borriby to move at my house. I know he can surf, he can run, he can shot put and javelin.
Do anything.
He'd be great ambassador. He'd be great kid minder, babysitter, because he can do everything.
Even just make sure the ducks don't go in your pool.
Ducks.
You know, simple things like that.
Yep. Learn tricks on the trampoline.
Fish. We know a koala fished on the weekend.
He can fish. I think he should go to Dreamworld because they've got Kenny the koala.
No, don't. You don't. That's exactly. They've got Kenny koala.
But it's Kenny's cousin. He's going to be a relative of Kenny somewhere. So I reckon he should go to Dreamworld, Koala Country, Kenny Koala and Borriby. That would be massive for Dreamworld.
Rod, he'd look good at the Coolangatta Golf Club, Borriby.
Oh, yeah, he could sit astride the giant golf ball on top of the clubhouse there.
Aww.
A giant blue beacon to all boaties as a warning. Do not collide with this.
Hang on a minute. Is Kenny Koala still around?
I think so.
I remember when I was a kid, they always had the cutout of Kenny Koala, and if you didn't reach his hand, you couldn't get on the ride.
Mm.
You know, if your head didn't reach his hand. I haven't seen Kenny Koala advertised for a long time.
That's it. They could swap him straight out with Borriby. Nobody will miss Kenny the Koala.
Oh, come on.
What?
Don't.
There's plenty gone by the wayside. Plenty of those, you know, the mascots, Kenny the Koala. Agro's gone. There's quite a few.
Humphrey B. Bear.
Humphrey B. Bear. Ozzy the Ostrich. There's
Fat Cat.
There's a whole
Dickie
farm.
Knee.
Dickie Knee. I reckon where your pets went when you were growing up, your dad said
that
they
farm.
Went to a farm.
Yes.
I reckon.
All of these.
All these. Fat Cat. All of them are in the same
Humphrey's
farm.
Back.
Careful, big boy.
Humphrey is back. You know what, actually? I don't want Borriby at the Currumbin Wildlife Sanctuary. You can have him at Dreamworld,
okay,
mate.
All right. Why?
Well, I think he spent too much time in the Athletes' Village, and he definitely has chlamydia. So I don't want him infecting the other.
You went there?
Koalas. It's early.
16-7. It is day one of the Sanctuary Cove International Boat Show, and we missed him yesterday because he was out fishing. But we've caught him today. Paul Burt, the ambassador of the boat show. It's 7-7.
Birdie, playing a few tunes. Birdie, the Sanctuary Cove International Boat Show, turning 30. We know Riviera's got to launch, Fusion's got to launch. It's going to be bigger and better than ever. I know we say it every year, but it actually is.
Absolutely. And something that'll interest AJ is that the new Bentley car has a launch as well. So
we are seeing
world first coming through. But you know what really fascinates me, being the ambassador for the boat show again, done it for several years, and I love it out there, is that this year is that we're finally seeing a massive over 500 square metres of trailer boats for the general mum and dad and kids out there who love to get out onto the water. Something we can all look at and go, hey, actually, you know what, I might consider buying that. It's a beautiful, beautiful layout this year. We were out there last night, and I'll tell you what, there's so much to see and do that one day is not enough.
And what part excites you the most, Birdie?
Oh, you know, just the atmosphere being out there, Bridge, and realistically, the trailer boats this year, like, you know, I love looking at all the big boats, and they're always a gorgeous thing to look at, and particularly out there. But when you're walking around last night in the boatyard, we've called it, is you're looking around, and there's tinnies, and there's centre consoles, there's fishing boats, there's mum and dad boats, you know, where you can go out for a day on the Broadwater. There's all of that sort of stuff, and that is what really spikes my interest, because to me, it brings back the days of where you could actually go and, you know, you can get a good deal, and people are out there ready to make a deal as well.
And Birdie, just quickly, what is the best naughty nautical look for Sanctuary Cove Boat Show? I love a bit of white, a bit of navy blue boat shoes. I'm into it.
I like lemon.
Yeah, it is. You're 100% right. You know, look, I like wearing white and blue is always the nautical theme. You know, you got to have white-soled shoes just so you can walk on a boat without taking them off. And of course, that, you know, maybe the skipper's hat. Gilligan's Island. Gilligan's hat.
And Birdie, you're there over the weekend as well. We know you've got the Brim Shootout Classic as well. So anybody who wants to register for that, all they have to do is go to Sanctuary Cove International Boat Show website. They can register. That's over the weekend. And you're out fishing now, are we?
I am, mate. I'm sitting down here just south of Burley, and I bagged a heap of tailor yesterday. You're trying to call me. I'm so sorry. The tailor were jumping out of the water, so I bagged a heap of those, and I'm really looking forward to having the next second cast right about now. But yeah, mate, the boat show, the brim competition is going to be great. All you have to do is catch, you know, 10 brim a day if you can. If you can't, doesn't matter, wave them in. And you can win yourself a trip flying Scoot overseas to Thailand, staying at a Pullman 5-star resort. How good is that for catching a bloody brim?
That's brilliant.
We love it. We'll see you out there on Saturday, Birdie.
Good on you, guys. Great talking and listening to you.
Hey, by the way, too, we play the Love Boat theme, and Cliff of Parkwood was lucky enough to get through on the telephone. What's the story you got for us, Cliff? Congrats, by the way, mate.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah, I'm from England, and I've got sisters in Italy, in Japan, and in New Zealand and England, and we're all coming out to meet for a big party with my mum, so we're going to use the boat experience to get everyone on that.
Oh, that is perfect. Imagine that. And showing off your backyard, your front yard, which is the Gold Coast, in pure luxury.
Oh, I can't wait. Captain Cliffy on board the luxury ship.
Good luck, Captain Cliff.
Good on you. Hopefully it doesn't have to get to this stage for your parents, but a couple in New York, they've had to take their 30-year-old son to court because he repeatedly refused to move out of home. Now, Michael Rotondo, he lost his job 8 years ago and has ignored requests over the last year to leave home. Even the parents have said, I will pay you to move out. And he says, look, I only use one bedroom. I don't talk to them. Brilliant. You know, God knows what he does in that bedroom if he's 30 years old and he's not working. But anyway, here's Michael Rotondo, who is the son, on the news. This is what he has to say.
You're going to make it so that these people can just throw me out instead of, you know, letting me stay. Because I'm not bothering them living here.
I'm not a burden to them in the home. They don't provide laundry or food. It's really a moot point for them to seek me to be ejected.
Oh, yeah. How dare they? How is he, these people? They are your parents.
How'd it go? How'd the case go?
How do you reckon?
He got kicked out.
Of course he did. But you know what? I see quite a few people. There's a couple that I know, an older couple. They're amazing. They are still enabling this behaviour for their, you know, son and their son's sons, all living at home, don't work. None of them work.
Well,
and the grandmother just complains to me and says, oh, I do all their laundry. I do all their cooking. Well, don't.
I've seen this firsthand. Don't. And Cherie's brother, he was working for granddad.
Yes.
And they had to build him a house to get him out of the house.
Are you kidding?
No.
Really?
He would never move out of home. So they said, we will move you. And they built him a house down the road and moved him out.
Are you kidding?
No. And he works for him.
Funny. This is how the legal notice came out. It said, you are hereby evicted from 408 Weather Bridge Drive, Camillus, New York, effective immediately. You have heretofore been our guest and there is no lease or agreement that gives you any right to stay here without our consent.
Oh, we
even offered the son $1,100 to help him out when he had to go.
But see, my daughter lives at home, Caitlin, 24. She's saving for a house, so she lives with her mum, and her mum only charges a minimum rent, but at the same time, she's saving. So as long as she's saving, I don't have a problem with that. If they're not saving and haven't got a desire to get anywhere, you can't keep helping him out.
Yeah, but Caitlin's working too, so it's not like she's mooching. I just don't like the kids that's saving, but they're saving because they're ripping off the parents. But at least Caitlin's working.
That's what you're a parent
for,
though.
We want to know on 13, 27, 10, how old were you when you moved out of home? I think it's different now because I just wanted to get out. Mum was so strict, I just wanted to get out.
You might have your daughters or sons still living at home and they could be in their 30s. They might even have kids.
Yes, that's right. How's this 30-year-old? I can't believe it. So the parents have had to take drastic action. They've had to take their son to court because he won't move out of home. He lost his job 8 years ago, so obviously he's comfortable there. And he said, I just use one bedroom and I don't talk to them. So why should I be kicked out?
And the court said, bad luck, you've got to go. I've got an option for him. Mm-hmm. He should start training up for the next Australian Commonwealth Games.
And then just
do the runner.
Oh, that's a point. That's what most people do, isn't it? We've got Camilla. You've got a great solution here that your parents did to you.
Yeah, so what they did, I was 23, my brother was 21, and another brother was 18. And they said to us, guess what? We're moving house. We're moving into this beautiful apartment on the beachfront, and it's got a master bedroom and a spare bedroom. And we went, well, where's our bedrooms? They said, there isn't.
That's it.
There's the solution.
You're out. So they moved and they said, you're gone at the same time.
Yeah, they said, time to grow up, guys. Time to find your own places.
Excellent.
And off you go.
Oh, brilliant. We love it. And we are asking, what age did you move at? Or have you still got kids living at home? And Jaden Tallow, what's the story?
Well, I couldn't wait to move out of home. I was gone by 17.
Me too. I think it was the independence thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I've been working since I was 15, so I couldn't wait to get out. I think I had my bags packed at 16, but
Yeah, well, Bridge often talks about it. It's the art of being able to bunk in with a couple of people, make ends meet.
Yep.
That's what character building's about. These days, they expect to walk into a huge mansion with room and the dog and the cat and the perfect setup. But thanks, Jade.
Kim and Upper Coomera. Look, how old was it when you moved out or your kids moved out?
Well, I was really young when I moved out, but my kids, I actually encouraged them to move out as soon as they left school virtually. I asked them both to choose careers that would, give them the best go. So my daughter actually took a career which was air hostessing, and that took her over to Dubai as a cabin crew, and then my son joined the Defence Force, so he left home. And they still haven't come back, even though they've changed their careers again.
Oh,
one's gone back to South Australia, and one's now living in a remote community somewhere in WA, so yay!
Yeah.
Yay, you've done well. Congratulations, Mum.
That is a great idea. Get them to do a work that's not at home. We've got Dwayne in Pimpama. Dwayne, when did you move out of home, or are your kids still at home?
I left when I was 54, 18. My young fella lives at home, but he looks after his mother.
Oh, yep.
But my brother got rid of his 20-year-old kids the easy way.
How?
Cost him nothing.
What?
Him and his wife started walking around the house naked. kids were gone in 2 weeks.
That's great. That is cost effective.
Oh, careful, Boston.
He's a father of four, a decorated AFL legend, winner of the Western Port High Grade 4 Knitting Prize. And he's not afraid to speak his mind. This is Spider Spry, hitting the important and not so important issues.
I'm going against the grain here because I'm sick and tired of parents, and it's been a generation thing. I'm sure everybody will remember their grandparents saying the same thing as their parents, and now Cherie, my wife's doing exactly the same, and I see it all the time. And I'm talking about, why are parents so anti-Milo? Why are they so
it's
anti-
a sometimes
no,
food.
No, they say one scoop per cup or per glass of hot and cold Milo. Well, hang on. When you were a kid, did you only want one scoop of Milo when you wanted a glass of Milo with a little bit of milk? No, you didn't. I remember my grandmother said only one scoop. Mum, one scoop. Sheree's mum, one scoop. Sheree, one scoop. Well, hang on. You're happy to do it yourself when you're a kid. Why can't you allow our kids to have the Milo the way it should be? Try that one scoop. How often do you do that one scoop of Milo and you try and dig it out like Mount Everest?
No.
You try and get as much Milo on that scoop, and it is never enough, is it?
No, it's not.
It's never. And you wait for mum to go and you try and get another quick scoop, and sometimes they go, only one spoonful.
Mm.
So you swap a teaspoon for a tablespoon.
Of course you
and
do.
And go, there you go, I'll have a tablespoon of Milo. But, you know, you sit there and then... They go, they sit there and they go, why is it that every time they'll drive through, go through all the burger places, they'll have a birthday with lollies, chips and pies and soft drink. But no, you can only have one scoop of Milo.
Mm.
And I'm saying now, from now on, it is time we need a National Milo Day. And I'm going to be calling it, and it's going to be one cup of Milo with one teaspoon of milk. Who's with me, kids?
You've been sprayed by Spider.
We've got a very funny lady on the phone, Julia Morris, who's coming to town, Bridge.
Yeah, we certainly do. I used to work with her in a former life.
Yes.
In the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Her Lift and Separate Golden Jubilee Tour, because she's just turned 50, God bless her. An incredible woman, TV host, and very, very funny indeed.
Julia.
I wonder who she'll be having a ping at.
There's some easy sitting ducks up around here if you want to have a crack at anyone.
Oh, well, that's the best news about my show. I don't have a crack at anyone. I tell stories about how I should have shut my mouth, you know, over the last 5 to 10 years at moments when really I could have done with maybe not having a comment, and just social faux pas and getting it wrong. It's always loads of fun to laugh with the audience about.
What's one of the best ones, the most embarrassing moments? I mean... The one that stands out, and I shouldn't know embarrassing moments in your life, but I do.
Well, I've got a, it's not in this show, but I do have an absolute corker where when I was living in London, I was working for the BBC, and I got invited to the Minority Report opening with the, it was a Tom Cruise movie.
Hmm.
Anyway, of course I was running late, got off the tube, like ran with my flatmate like maniac, the red carpet, kind of bumped into this kid and I was like, oh, sorry, and then sort of kept moving. And this bouncer comes up and he goes, you need to back off, Mr. Cruise. I'm like, what? He said, you need to back off, Mr. Cruise. I'm like, I've got no idea what you're talking about. Anyway, as I looked around, I'm like, that kid there, that tiny little thing that just ran into me and then kept running. And they're like, yeah, that's Mr. Cruise. I'm like, listen, mate, I'm not the slightest bit interested in... Yeah, getting up in Mr. Cruise's grill, so I'm just going to go inside.
Well, there's no way you could get up amongst his grill, right?
Exactly. I had to go down on his grill. And so I get up further up the carpet and I spot a camera crew that I know really well. They were working on the show that I was working on and they were sort of doing some interviews. So I thought, I'm going to go and do a fun interview with them because they won't use it on my show because they wouldn't play me at a function and then throw back to me in the studio. So I'm like... Who and I was, I mean, the language was in another league because I knew it wasn't being broadcast. I was using every F-bomb going, talking about who does this such and such Cruise think he is? You know what? I could put him in my pocket and take him out. Oh, a big star. All right, you're a big star. I was swearing. It was out of control. I laughed my head off. The cameraman laughed his head off. I went inside and they were playing it live in the cinema.
Oh, no. Brilliant. Oh, Julia.
I didn't realise it was the live feed to go through to the cinema. Oh. I thought it was my gang. I didn't realise I was free live feed. So I go to take my seat, and then the publicist kind of comes up the side of the stairs and says, I have a word, please. I'm like, I don't blame you, mate.
Julia, we can't wait to see you. You'll be here in June. You're at Hotter here on the Gold Coast, it's called. Now, it used to be the Arts Centre. Now it's Hotter, and you'll be hotter than ever. Saturday, June 16. We can't wait to see you.
Looking so forward to it. Thanks so much for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it. Malcolm
Turnbull. Oh, Prime Minister, tell us about the gift. Yeah. This is an awesome idea because I've claimed it that, you know, we gave the wedding present to Harry and Meghan, the Akubras. Tell us about it.
Well, first of all, good morning to you, Bridget. Yeah, always morning. A pleasure, never a chore. Hello to you, Spider and AJ. Morning. And everybody listening to 92.5 Gold FM on the Goldie. Listen, the Akubras, it's a difficult decision to decide on a present for the couple that have everything.
Oh, yes.
You can go for the joke present, maybe a curly clown wig for Harry. He's he's balder than a hallway carpet, isn't he? And maybe the complete series of suits for Meghan Markle. But ultimately, we're going to give them something that's typically Australian and embarrassing to all of us. A stuffed koala or a wombat set. Those horrible cougar cardigans from the airport. Maybe a Great Barrier Reef snow dome. I don't know. But I suggested we give them a parcel of land just off the coast. What about Tasmania? Yeah. Terrific.
The wedding went for a few hours, but I know you would have been all over it, Prime Minister. What was your favourite part of the wedding?
Well, Spider, we had a party up at the Piper, and our favourite part was waiting for Victoria Beckham to smile. That was our drinking game up at the Piper. Every time she appeared, if she didn't smile, we had to quaff Sangiovese.
Oh, well.
I thought I was going to have a massive chunder at one stage. I could feel the esophageal burn, that dyspeptic fizz. But my favourite part of the wedding was the annunciation by the Archbishop of Canterbury. Have a listen to this.
The gift of marriage brings husband and wife together in the delight and tenderness of sexual union.
Now, if you are going to join the union movement, that's the union you want to join, the sexual union. What do we want and when do we want it? We want it now. Get it? I'm a card-carrying member of the sexual union. Don't you love it? Good on
you. PM, you were speaking Latin in a timber yard in Queensland recently. Why not speak normally, PM?
Well, I was out at Narangbar and they were showing me the timber and I said, is this a Eucalyptus terricobonus, which is river forest red gum? Now, Latin is our base language and being an Oxford scholar, of course, I thoroughly enjoy displaying my intellect to make other people feel inferior. But there are some Latin phrases I use to insult people and they don't even realise it. Like when I say Peter Dutton, they always say, caput quasi capsicum annum, which means, hello, potato head. then there's Michaela Cash, quae a catus, you are a cat. And you maybe try and translate this one for yourself.
Yeah.
All right.
Mammary glandulus brevis.
Tit shortened.
Tit shortened, that's right. Yes. Well done. Call the class here. Good on you. You're a Latin scholar. Mammary glandulus brevis. Tit shortened. Isn't it terrific fun? So before I go, I just want to say that 92.5 Gold FM rocks the Sanctuary Cove International Boat Show. It's kicking off today after 30 years. Get involved. The boat show. Don't get Peter Dutton up there. He'll try and stop them. Good on you. Man up.
I have some big news.
And Mark, on many occasions, looked at me and said, are we wrecking this film?
It was an act of pure evil.
I never thought I'd have to beg you for a cuddle.
What is it about Shanghai and Nick Kyrgios?
Live from Gold 92.5's breakfast table, it's Bridges Feed.
Okay, well, sad news to begin with that Candace Warner, unfortunately, David Warner's partner, suffered a devastating miscarriage in the aftermath of her husband's role in the Australian cricket team's ball tampering scandal. She's 33 and she said it was absolutely heartbreaking, of course, and just due to all the stress after that
They've
happened.
They've got a few kids. Have they got two or three?
Yeah, there's two. Yep. There's two little children and unfortunately, she said because of the stress and the media packs following her, So that's sad news. It so is. Our hearts go out to Candace in that situation. Okay, well, this is really interesting coming from Magda Subansky, who has said she doesn't really like romantic comedies because the plot is always about men chasing the girls until they say yes. And she says, no means no, and it sets a bad example for boys and men.
God, Magna.
I just think it's a little... I don't know. I think it works.
Movie.
It's a formula. And she's saying, no, it's men stalking women. AJ's a big fan of it, as we know.
I know.
Has an Instagram account just for that.
The human reptile.
He is the human rep.
So you'd never get along with Magna.
He just, no, honestly, it's good because you never give up. And that's a very strong quality.
Leave
of yours.
No stone unturned,
yes,
do you, Adrian?
No stone. Touch the stone.
Oh,
yes. So anyway, but interestingly, this was on the project last night, and Peter Hellyer, he admitted that he got a bit stalky with his partner.
And, you know, she decided she wanted to travel, so she was, you know, kind of giving me the idea that, no, it's not going to work. I persisted. Right. Now we're married, we've got three kids. And, but, like, I remember thinking, at what point do I just walk away?
But you weren't stalking her. You weren't, you know...
I don't like to think so, no.
But it's a live question. If a film was made of your relationship, would Magda have criticised it?
Magda might not be friends with me.
Yeah, and Waleed admitted this too when he fell in love with his wife, Susan.
When... My wife, Susan, I was very keen on her, and she told me, she actually uttered the phrase, I will not marry you if you are the last man on earth. I took that as a bit of a negative sign.
There we go. And now look, Jessica Mowboy. Oh, poor Jess.
What's happened?
Oh, she's been slammed.
Why?
Well, I thought it was just me and I wasn't going to say anything, but a Eurovision costume... was voted the second worst dress. Now, this isn't good because Eurovision has some bad stuff.
Second worst. That is a positive.
I didn't like it at all. Honestly, the colour of it was like, it looked like an oil slick colour. I didn't think it was flattering. Mm. I think she has a beautiful figure and could have done better. Honestly, yeah. It looked like that one time I had Black Sambuca.
Oh,
the next day.
Yes.
The next day when it came back up. The upchuck of the Black Sambuca, that's what it looked like. Sorry, but it is true. And finally, MasterChef. Oh,
what's up?
You watching it?
Oh.
Right, it's this cooking show. It's amazing. And they put the pressure on them and
they
have a cook-off for a cook-off.
Do they cook to a time?
And they cook off to times. And they had two teams last night and they had to cook. Are you ready? Oh, my God, this guy was losing his mind over this.
Oh, my God, it's brunch. I love brunch. I can't even deal with this right now. It's brunch. I've got this.
This is the new thing in reality shows. I've got this.
I've got this.
Brunch. Oh, my God, it was brunch. Oh, my God, it was brunch. I couldn't believe it. I was at home at the time making dinner for one with my mystery box, which was bread, butter and Vegemite.
How'd you go?
Pressure was on. I felt so much pressure, but I did a twist. I cut it in rectangles instead of triangles.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
You
That's
need
the
soldiers.
Pressure. I know.
Kids.
What happened, darling?
There's drama in Main Beach.
Oh. Well, but there's so many retired people. Maybe their lives are a little bit boring.
I woke up this morning. There's a message on my car. You can see this on the Facebook page.
Mm.
To whom it may concern.
Oh, that's grown up.
I often see this car parked out here in the visitors' area.
Oh.
I understand you have a car park underneath, which you obviously illegally rent out.
Oh.
As one person cannot drive two cars.
Mm.
Yes, that's correct.
I ask you to stop using visitor car parks for financial gain. I have contacted Body Corporate. Regards. You ready? Fed up neighbour.
They
didn't sign it, Rodney.
Well, AJ, I'm sure you'd like the right of reply to fed up neighbour, and perhaps this would be the opportunity to remind them about the CCTV camera footage that would be available at the building. Find out who that person is.
Detective Rod, my chest is pointing out. I'll go to Body Corporate today and review who put this on my car. By the way, to the person that... wouldn't sign their name. Now, I had a little message here,
here
to the person that wouldn't sign their name, the pathetic reptile who wouldn't sign their name.
This is on.
Well, you know, who writes a note and doesn't sign their name?
I know.
I very rarely use the visitor's car park. I had it in the car park because I washed the car. And as most people would know, I don't wash many things at all.
That's a massive revelation in itself.
But do you rent out your car park? Do you park in the visitors or on the road?
I actually rent out my car park, and I will be checking with Body Corporate because I'm damn certain that it's not illegal to hire out your car park.
But do you notice it says fed up neighbour? It's like, this is the end. This is the straw that broke the camel's back. And I know years ago, any months ago, you with the mini skip that was overdue.
Yep.
Out the front forever. It caught on fire. So I think probably fed up neighbour probably put a note on that as well, and the fed up neighbour note burnt with everything else in the miniskirt.
So this has prompted us to go even deeper, and Bridge has been reviewing certain notes that people write.
Yeah. There was these cards you used to be able to get, and they were very 70s, and you'd put them under people's windscreens parked badly.
Yeah.
And it always drew them in because it's a photo of a little car and it says in yellow, "Hey, Foxy." So they'd pick it up, and then it says, "I hope you don't f*** like your park or you'll never get in."
Dilemma in Main Beach, 9 to 9, had a letter put under my wipers yesterday, unsigned. Well, it was signed by Fed Up Neighbour. Somebody wouldn't put their name to it. It was a letter complaining I was parking in the visitor's car park, which I don't normally park in. I normally park in the street, but I was there one day this week.
And we want to know, 132710, have you ever left or been left a message on your windscreen? And even at 92.5 Gold FM Facebook page, a lot of people saying they have. They're not quite sure about you renting out your car park and then parking in other spaces, AJ. But a lot of people saying, no, it's a passive. Knock on the door and speak to the neighbour.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
I don't know who the neighbour is. They wouldn't sign their name. Carolyn, what do you got?
Hi, AJ. It's Carolyn. I haven't seen you since Battery Point in Tassie. How are you?
Oh, hang on a minute.
I'm well, Carolyn. Well, I'm well. Oh. How are you?
Good. I was just listening to your dilemma.
Yeah.
Can you just read your bylaws? I do body corporate all the time. Read your bylaws and see what it states, whether you can lease out your car park.
Would he be allowed to? You reckon what's a normal gift? I would say no,
I'd say no too, but I mean, it depends on what your bylaws say.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are on Facebook with it. Fiona says she's a body corporate manager. Visitor car spaces are for bona fide visitors only.
Can I quickly ask?
Because I've done this for many years too. I'm body corporate and caretaker.
I'll get locked up, Carolyn.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, probably AJ, but you know what? If it was me, I'd let you do it.
Can I? That's what I was going to ask. Is AJ the same in those Tassie days?
Yeah.
Has he changed much?
Yeah. He was. Adrian, do you know who you're talking to? Do you remember who? Pierre and Josh?
Oh, Carolyn.
Are they his children that you're telling him about?
Don't worry.
No.
Carolyn, what era? What
He's
year?
He's shaking his head, Carolyn. He's trying to remember.
He is.
What era?
Oh, you went to my first wedding in 1985.
Oh, cool. You went to the wedding. You didn't marry her, so that's okay. We're narrowing it down.
No. AJ and Wendy.
Now it's all coming back.
I'll put that one in.
Can we talk in car park language? Did he ever park in your visitor's spot?
Oh, Bridget.
Oh, come on. No, there's a bylaw against that in Tasmania.
In Tassie, he would have had a high rise.
There's no bylaws in Tassie.
In Tassie, we'd probably be cousins.
See you, sister.
See ya.
AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Weekdays from 5 on 92.5 Gold FM.